Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Rolled Realms the Frontier. I'm your DM, Piper, and with us, as always, are our wonderful Ellison agents, Rosalind Fairchild, Mordi Valfierno, Blaze Barnsdale, and Talon. We're in the midst of our last Bastion days of the campaign, which means that folks are wrapping up their stories, kind of tying off loose ends, doing the last things they knew before we set off on our last couple of story arcs here. So without further ado, we're going to jump right in. A cool wind blows through the city streets of Bastion, the moon illuminating the thin throngs
whoosh,
of people.
Whoosh, that's the cool wind.
The moon illuminating the thinning throngs of people who are beginning to bundle up as the year creeps towards its close. Torches and gas lamps cast off a bitter smell and hazy smoke into the crisp night air. And we follow the tendrils of smoke across cobblestone streets until we settle on a maroon tent tucked into an alley. The flagship store of the Valfierno Stationery Incorporated, with a sign reading "On Break" hanging in front of the sealed tent flaps. Inside, we find Mordi in his pajamas that look almost identical to his daily outfit. Which, actually, as I was writing up this little intro, can you remind me what your like outfit looks like, and thus what your pajamas looks like?
Yeah. So, Mordi's daily outfit consists of pants, a vest, very formal. Or sort of formal but run down Western wear, with the duster coat of eyes over top, and a hat sitting just above his horns.
Absolutely. Now, the cloak and the hat, are those also part of the pajamas now, or
The hat gets replaced by one of those sleeping caps with the pom pom at the end. he does drape the duster coat of eyes over himself like a nightgown, though.
Absolutely. Well, wrapped in that nightgown of the cloak of eyes, Mordi, you are sitting by the candlelight at the small desk you have set up. You know, inks and stationery bottles and like rolled up papers are all over it, but they've been cleared to one side as you have the rune covered book that you took from the Ellison Agency's secret lab, The Real and True Legends of the Frontier by Jethro Tillison. And it is flipped open to a page about the Mad Artificer's Laboratory, The Real and True Legends of the Frontier by Jethro Tillison, the book you took from the Ellison Agency last time you were there. It is flipped open to the page on the Mad Artificer's Laboratory, which you kind of glanced at when you were down in that lab. However, this is your chance to kind of read into it further. And I imagine Mordi is sitting at that desk. Maybe Spindle is there with you. But going over the writings, you see it is mostly handwritten. There are some like drawings, just like the other legends. It's not like this book was published. It is very much a handwritten account. And in the writings you read, "I have in my time found a remarkable number of rumors and legends from across the frontier that all amount to the same basic story. There is, lost in the endless sands of the great desert, a hidden laboratory built around a tear in our very reality that connects the planes and allows those who access it great and terrible powers and visions. As with any legend, exact story changes and alters slightly with every mouth that tells it to me. However, key points remain consistent, which, if you have been reading my tales and not simply jumping in randomly, says to me that there is at the heart of this legend a very real truth. Somewhere in the desert, there is an impossible laboratory full of wonders built long ago by a mad artificer. And at its heart, there is the power to shape our new world. It is very possible, as with every entry in this book of mine, that this may be my last entry as I go to explore. However, I hope to write of what I find when I return from my journey to the God's Tear. Wish me luck, reader and friend." And the rest of the book is blank from there. And I think that it's late at night. You all had just gotten back from the Black Rock prison. You went to the hospital, you went to the Ellison agency, and did a few things there. But this is the end of a remarkably long day that you have all had. So Mordai, as you're reading this, and as the thoughts of Jethro's writings and this mad artificer's laboratory fill your mind, you begin to drift off into an uneasy slumber. In the tent in the community center, in a small apartment above a bar and another above a printing press and below a bowling alley, our Ellison agents lay in fitful sleep. As the sun crests over the horizon the following morning, the prophecy spoken in the secret seat echoes in each of your minds. The burnt, abandoned, lost, and found, truths discovered underground, good intentions turned to dust, the cautious love betrays your trust. The world against you forced to flee, the lonely god can set you free. Mad Artificer's lab is in your path if you survive a world of wrath. Black dog barks and shattered skies, celestial thrones built on lies. Beware of the grim forevermore. Do not let him open the door. Blaze, your eyes shoot open. Your heart is pounding in your chest as you blink away the last sands of sleep. Stretching, you shake your head trying to clear those thoughts and start your day. You crack an egg into your mouth from a carton on your container. Yeah, no more omelet to use. You got to use a carton of eggs now.
Yeah, so I would like to add something, which is, yes, I've obviously gone to the store and purchased a carton of eggs. I would like to say that I have, during these hours, I've sewn an egg pocket into my coat, and I'm just putting eggs in there.
Oh, is it just like a one egg pocket, or is it just like chock full of eggs right now?
So I'm imagining like there's like a larger pocket with different like oh my gosh, what's it called? Different compartments. So each can fit one egg so that the eggs aren't like bashing up against each other. They're like, there's some fabric between.
So it's got like
eggs.
Compartments, essentially?
Yes, an egg compartment, I think would be better. Better use of words.
Okay, please add egg compartment jacket to your inventory.
Excellent. I will. Probably shove about half a dozen eggs in there.
Yeah, you absolutely stayed up late, like poorly sewing this together in the candlelight. Yeah. Staying up way too late after a long day.
Yep.
Absolutely. Nice. Well, as you fill the compartments in your egg jacket.
My acket, if you will.
Your acket?
Ack it.
Okay.
That's jacket. Nothing.
That is nothing.
Yak it? No, ack it sounds much better.
Oh, yeah.
Egg jacket.
As you do that, you flip through a small stack of mail that's been left on your doormat from your time away. You know, you spent the last few days out in the frontier in you know, the Owlshade Oasis and then in Blackrock Prison. It's a few bills, a couple of days worth of newspapers from the printing press downstairs.
Bills. I throw those away immediately.
Yep, gone. In the trash. Don't even look at them. But most notably, and I think what catches your eye as you're dumping the rest of the mail into your trash can, is an envelope with two tickets to the premiere of Apolline Accord's new film, The Devil in the Desert City, labeled, quote, to Mordai's fellow Ellison agent, parentheses, and a plus one.
Ooh, and a plus one.
Yeah.
Blaze doesn't have anyone to invite.
Absolutely.
How have you managed to have no one to invite despite being engaged and flirting with everyone you meet?
Because Blaze makes no commitments.
That'll do it.
And listen, I'm not inviting my fiance. He's probably pretty pissed off at me.
Also a giant crab, which I don't think theaters can really accommodate right now.
Why not?
Well, because the ocean didn't exist until about 3 weeks ago.
He can survive above water for a little bit, right?
You don't know that.
I can just cover him in like a damp towel.
A very large damp towel.
Well, I imagine several. Anyways, Blaze wants to eat an egg. Tell me what happens. I crack an egg into my mouth. What happens, Piper?
Yeah, you crack an egg into your mouth, and as it cooks down your throat, as we've established, there is a knock on your door. It's a very just polite, gentle knock. And going over to the door.
Hello?
Oh, are you all right in there, Blaze? Are you?
Hello. Yes, I'm fine. I was just having my morning egg.
Oh, you're just having your morning egg. Okay. Yeah, sorry to have interrupted. I know that's your thing. Can I come in? Is the door unlocked?
Yeah, I probably did leave that unlocked last night.
And in walks River, your mentor at the Rogues Gallery.
How did I know who it was?
Really the only person who really shows up to your apartment ever. However, as you know, River, a greater mimic, shapeshifts, changes form. And as he walks in, this time he is in the form of a black tuxedo tabaxi, very formal and sleek.
Interesting look.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I wanted to put on a good look. I'm excited for tonight, after all.
What's tonight?
Well, Blaze, we're going to do a heist tonight.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. For a second, I thought you were talking about something else. Don't worry about it.
Oh, why? What else is going on tonight? Did you have... I hope you didn't have other plans. This is kind of a big deal, Blaze.
Nope. I have no other plans.
Oh, excellent. Well, here, if you join me back to the Rogues Gallery, if you want to maybe change your clothes real quick.
I'll do that, and I'll catch up with you.
Absolutely. Well, meet me at the Rogues Gallery, and I'll go over the plans with you. And giving you, a wink and a nod, he turns and shuts the door behind you.
Well, this is going to be a problem.
20 minutes later, you are in the Rogues Gallery, freshly changed, jacket full of eggs, apparently.
Jacket full of eggs.
And you make your way to River's private office in the secret back rooms of the Rogues Gallery.
Wait, Piper, I just wanted to clarify the movie premiere is tonight, right?
Yes, it is.
Ooh, yeah, that's what I thought. All right. great.
Blaze faces the greatest challenge they face so far, social interactions, and deciding what event to go to. As you walk in, River is sitting in a chair behind their desk, which is covered in a stack of large papers that have been unrolled and pinned down with various knickknacks and things. Looking at it as you move into the room, the topmost one is a map of Bastion, zoomed in on the blocks around the Ellison Agency. River gestures for you to sit.
Blaze is going to take a seat.
Blaze, it's time to lay my cards on the table. This heist, this big score, it's going to be of the Ellison Agency, and I think you figured that out, but I just want to be clear here.
I did figure that out, thank you. I'm not as stupid as I have been in the past. One might say I have increased my intelligence by several points if we were putting numbers to it.
That is an interesting way to put it. I think most people would say you've learned, but... if that's how you wish to phrase it, I suppose you do you, as kids are saying.
I don't know what kids are saying.
Yeah, fair. Neither do I, really. I mostly learned it up back when I was that cool tiefling, teenager. That was fun, but tabaxi fit more for the heist. Anyway, as you know, this is not something that's going to be easily done. Andromeda Ellison runs a... Well, I used to say she ran a tight ship, but... It really does seem like things have gone, and no offense to you, you're wonderful. Things have gotten a little sloppy lately, so I really do think that we have a shot at this, but the two of us just simply aren't enough for a proper heist, a fun heist. So,
right, yes, of course.
I put together a little bit of a team, and I'd love to introduce you.
And
before you make your final decision, you should know who's on this team. You should meet...
Are there 11 of them?
Are there 12 of them?
What? No, that's...
What about... is it going to be like Ocean's 11, or Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13? What kind of situation is this? How many people are we talking? Do we have, one tiny guy that knows how to do, backflips and can also fold himself into a very small box that could potentially be wheeled into the place that we are stealing from, and then he could let us in from the inside without like touching the floor, because the floor is covered in lasers.
You've given this a lot of thought, and you do realize like you would be that guy, right? Like I don't know if you've just like been like writing heist fan fiction or something, but
I don't know what fan fiction is.
Oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about it.
It's River, like actually, when you write about a robot that turns into a car, fucking a different robot that turns into a car.
Boy, I really need to close the windows in here. We are people on the streets of Bastion today.
They really want to tell you about.
They want to tell you about Transformer sex.
Why it's all written badly.
I think, frankly, River should listen to the strangers that want to tell them about Transformer sex.
No, we're going to focus on the heist, if that's all right, Blaze. Please. Now, obviously, there is me, the mastermind behind our little heist. You, Blaze, would be our thief, both with excellent rogue skills and knowledge of our target inside and out. From what I've learned from a little bit of reconnaissance, there's a significant amount of techno-arcanic security, which leads me to the next member of our crew. This one, would you please come in? From a door to the side of the room, a familiar automaton walks in. This one, the once robot leader of the revolution at Iron Canyon, who you met in your second ever adventure, gives you a little wave as it walks in. It is noticeably more scuffed than the last time you saw it, with marks on its face and what appears to be a completely replaced arm. Hello, Blaze. This one is pleased to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. Also, unrelated, I do feel like I've lost Blaze's voice a little bit. I'm going to try getting it back.
Oh, I'm sorry that you have lost your voice.
Oh, no, I haven't lost my voice is fine.
Yes, right. Well, we do have some, like, lemon tea if you'd like, but obviously, so we have mastermind, thief, tech expert, and then finally there's the matter of muscle. We need someone to cover any physical needs, from a fight to carrying our emergency failsafe. And River pats a lumpy duffel bag behind their desk as they say failsafe. But you don't have much time to linger on that thought as the doors swing open again and a large gnoll woman strides in. It's Brick Blightgrinder, who causes the chair next to you to groan in protest as she lowers her massive form into it and gives you a toothy grin. Hey, Blaze, it's good to see you again.
It's very, very good to see you too. Would you like an egg?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're good for building up some muscle mass, bulking up, protein. Yeah, here.
Turns around really quick, reaches into their pocket, and holds out an egg, pretending as though they have produced it out of thin air.
Kind of weird that you hunched over there and pulled your egg out, but yeah, thanks. She grabs it, hits it against her forehead to crack it, and pops it into her open jaw.
Sexy.
Not bad. Oh, well, thank you.
That was me goblin talking, Piper. I feel like I gotta clarify that. Please would be that flirtatious in real life. And I think we all know that.
Blaze is just sitting there flustered, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. What else would they be doing?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm seeing you again. It's only been like, 2 days since the chuggy squeeze and you got me on the date with the... Well, look, between us, that weenie. Sorry.
Yeah, how did that go?
I mean, you know when you get attracted to someone from a distance and they seem really great, and then you spend a couple hours in a themed restaurant with an animatronic ham scream singing at you, and you're kind of like, this isn't it.
I have never been in that specific situation, but I...
Now, what about you two? She gestures to this one and River, who both politely shake their heads like, no, we've never been in this situation.
But I can certainly understand where you are coming from.
Yeah, so, you know, I got a letter saying that I was scouted for a heist and, like, or for a special project that I then found out was a heist. But, you know, like, I was kind of like, oh, hey, I've got to go to work now, and peaced out. So fingers crossed this is a big break and I can kind of keep on moving, because it got pretty awkward back in Owlshade.
Well, if you do you need somewhere to stay while you're here?
Are you offering?
I mean, it's not really much. It's kind of, but, you know, my house is your home, so.
Oh my God, Blaze, that's so nice of you. Thank you, yeah. No, I love to crash on your couch or your floor or your roof, wherever. I've slept all sorts of places.
Probably floor. I mean, I do have a bed if you want it. I could sleep on the floor, or we could both sleep on the bed. Whatever makes you most comfortable.
Blaze. Brick opens her mouth to respond, and River just leans in before she can and goes, anyway, back to the heist. Let's talk about the heist, yes?
Oh,
here's the deal. Yes. Here's the deal. Our target is a source of immense arcanic energy that is somewhere underground that we've pinpointed to be at the Ellison Agency. Blaze, as a Ellison agent, knows the building inside and out, and most likely there would be three people present in the agency during the heist tonight. It would be fuck. Sorry, I lost that voice so quickly.
That's all good.
From scouting the building, it appears that there would be likely three people present in the agency during the heist tonight. It would be Andromeda Ellison herself, the director, a woman by the name of Adelia Nguyen, I believe, who has been freelancing for them. She's this one, you're familiar with her, correct? Yes, current head of the Artificers Guild. Right, and then there would be... Scub Dudley, I think was the name. It was.
Oh, we don't care for him. He could be collateral damage.
Oh, good. Actually, you see River write down a note that says like Scub Dudley equals collateral damage ? So we have three people we need to deal with. Blaze, you know them best. Do you have any suggestions on how to best deal with them?
That is a great thought that you have had, that I would be knowledgeable in this particular area.
They all look at you expectantly.
Well, I mean, Scub Dudley is worthless nothing garbage. I wouldn't worry about him too much, honestly. Adelia Nguyen, I think could probably be easily distracted by cool items, I think. Although I don't know, maybe I'm getting her confused with someone else. Andromeda, I would personally rather simply avoid, just because that is my boss. Now that I am thinking about it, I don't know that Adelia Nguyen will be a problem. There is an event going on tonight that she might be at.
Excellent. Whenever you can take an I don't want to say enemy figure off the board, but an opposition figure off the board, it always helps us. So good to know that she may not even be present tonight.
Yep.
All right. So what I'm hearing is avoid Andromeda as best we can and deal with Scub Dudley with extreme prejudice.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say extreme. I'm sure it would be quite suspicious if he turned up like dead or something. Maybe just knock him unconscious.
I think we can do that. All right. Well, once we get through them, Blaze, do you know where the entrance to the holding area vault? I'm not really exactly sure what it's going to be, but probably some sort of maybe underground laboratory.
I don't have the best sense of direction, but I have been there before, so that is a tentative yes.
Excellent. I mean, as long as you can point us in the right direction, this one can hack into any security systems of the techno-arconic variety and shut them down. And then, I'll be there to identify the artifacts, and then we simply scoodoodle out. Brick, you'll be there to deal with Scub Dudley and anyone else who may get in our way, as well as to carry this failsafe. everybody.
I have a quick question, River. Oh, what yes. What is the fail safe
so,
that we're talking about here?
Let's just say that if push comes to shove, I have an exit strategy. However, it's in our best interest to not divulge it too soon. Rather not use it at all, right?
Right. Cool. Definitely love not knowing all the things about this plan. It
makes it more dramatic, right?
Yep. Sure does.
Absolutely. Well, is everybody in on this?
Yep. Sure thing.
Affirmative. Yeah, I'm in. With these two, y'all are going to need some Brick on your team. And Brick flexes. And as River and the heist team finish their discussions, we pan out of the window that River had closed to keep discussions of fan fiction out. And across the now bustling city of Bastion, where people are shopping and chili splashes down the cobblestone roads in its barrel, all the way to the Coral Thief 2, then up to Talon in your little one-bedroom apartment. Or it was like an alcove studio, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, well, one wall is kind of taken out now, so.
Yeah. Talon,
honestly, I didn't think that through. But to be fair, Talon didn't think that through.
Exactly. It's in character.
Mm-hmm.
Talon, your mother, Tyne, is coming with a diplomatic envoy to discuss matters between the undersea city-state and Bastion. And she would be arriving to meet you pretty shortly today, actually, per her very wet letters. What are you doing to prep for that?
Panicking. trying to rebuild the wall that I knocked down to get the stove in place. And I have the stove because I wanted to show off my ability to cook for myself like an adult. And then I didn't think it through. And now I'm missing a wall.
I think at this point you're probably missing like a third of a wall in your frantic attempt to patch it back together.
Yeah.
And
by a third, I mean that it's like I've put beams up, so it's like covered. It just doesn't really look like a full wall yet because, you know, it needs more than just that.
Absolutely. As you're panicking, you hear a knock on your door.
Just a minute. I frantically throw up a tarp over the whole thing and then go to answer the door.
Absolutely. Swing it open. A coyote is on your doormat, holding a bundle of your mail. Oh, you thought I was your mom?
My mom's coming to visit and I haven't rebuilt the wall yet.
Oh, my God. That explains why you thought I was your mom. I was like, oh, do I look particularly sharky today? But that's why you bought the stove, right?
It is. It's why I bought the stove. But then I took out an entire wall to get the stove into my place. And
I remember,
I should just get a new apartment. Should I get a new apartment? How do you do that? I kind of won this apartment in a fight. I don't know how you'd get a normal apartment.
Oh, that's how you got this. I gotta say, Talon, I have been wondering how you got this apartment here. But
it's a longer story than that, but you can boil it down to I won it in a fight.
Well, you'll have to tell me next time we go out to dinner. But yeah, for now, I don't think you have time to go apartment shopping. I'm sorry, but I think this is a nice apartment. They've got those new wood steps leading up to it, which is very fancy. And, you know,
it's nice that you can just, like, walk up it now.
I know, right? I'm sure it's going to be great for your mom as well, not have to jump over that hole there. But yeah, can I help? Is there something I can do to help out with you?
Do you know what you need to make a wall not just look like wood? I mean, I can put paint over it, but then it'll just look like wood directly on paint. Isn't there normally like...
You mean paint directly on... Oh.
Yeah, that thing. Isn't there like normally something between it to make it smooth looking? I mean, one of the walls looks like that. The other two just look like paint on wood, but one of them looks like... I don't know how this works. I've never built a house.
I am sorry to say, Talon, that I also haven't built a house, but I might be able to help a little bit. When is your mom going to be here soon?
Yes.
All right. Oh, my gosh. Alrighty then. Well, Here's the one issue. I don't want to impose, but the solution I have does kind of require me to be here a little bit.
Oh.
Well, I mean, that, you know.
Oh. No, I mean, that's not a bad thing. It's okay. I don't want to move too fast again. But we've been, you know, doing it more slowly and everything. Yeah, that would be okay.
Okay, I don't want to impose. I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
No.
I could like hide under your bed or something if that's better for you.
I think that would make it worse, actually. That would probably be worse.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I heard it. Okay, yeah. Well, I guess do I look all right? I didn't dress to meet your mother today.
You look wonderful.
Yeah, she's wearing literally the same thing she wears every day.
Yeah, and Talon 100% means it and is completely sincere when she says that she looks wonderful.
Coyote blushes slightly and goes, and then shakes her head and just goes, okay, don't go getting sappy on me. We gotta deal with this wall, right?
Yes. Wall all right. Problems.
All right, Talon, if you can hold those beams up so that it's like relatively connected to how it used to be before we, you know, kind of exploded the wall in to get that stove in.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do, you see her focusing and you see her glowing slightly with magic. And you kind of remember something that I think has been forgotten, which is Coyote is a sorcerer.
I totally fucking forgot that. Yes. And
Coyote casts Mending, which normally only works on a break or tear no larger than 1 foot in any dimension. However, kind of stretching it out, she does a very thin connection to basically seal up this hole. It doesn't look good, but it is still like patched up enough where it's covered.
Mm-hmm.
And panting heavily, she goes, okay, that was part one. All right, part two. 1 second. Woof. All righty.
Wow, it's going to be much easier to paint over this now.
Oh, don't worry about paint. She casts another spell of minor illusion to make it look just like the wall would have looked prior to being exploded.
Heck yeah.
Yeah,
oh
so
goodness.
That kind of requires me to keep concentration, so it's a minor illusion. It's not very hard to concentrate on, but I do, that's why I have to be here.
That's so creative. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, well, I'm full of surprises. She tucks like a strand of hair behind her ear back towards her messy braid. And goes, all right, what's next? What else do we have to do?
I wasn't actually planning on getting anything else done because I just didn't think it was on the table, but well.
Do you want to share like a hot bean juice while we wait for your mom?
Yeah, why don't we do that and maybe I can cook something.
Perfect.
I wasn't thinking I'd have time for that, but you know, maybe I do now.
Absolutely. And I think you two, you know, cook and drink hot bean juice and chat for a little bit until another. Actually, sorry. What is Talon cooking?
Salmon tacos. I'm thinking of things that I can cook and I'm thinking of things that would be suitable for this. And you know what? I imagine that Bastion is getting a surprise influx of seafood because of the new ocean. And it's not a lot yet, but it's growing in popularity because due to the, you know, suddenly, oh my God, we can have like fish. So salmon tacos, grilled salmon with cabbage and onion and red onion chopped up. And I guess we got limes now. We got to have limes because citrus is so important for most foods. God, I love citrus so much. So yeah. We're doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right that with the undersea city state kind of emerging with that ocean opening up inland. Yeah, there's a whole new market out there. And you are finding, Talon, much to your joy, so many more like fish and seafoods and things like that being brought into the city. And as you finish up cooking, there is another knock on the door.
Take a deep breath. I readjust one of the plates to make it slightly nicer looking, but mostly just at a different angle. And then I go to open the door.
As the door creaks open, you see in front of you, dressed in beautiful shimmering robes, your mother, Tyne. She is a Mershark just like you. She is a little bit older, though she is in her non-shifted form. Or I guess for her, this is kind of her shifted form because she's so used to being in like the full Mershark form. She's got two legs. And she really is the spitting image of you, like, or you are the spitting image of her. Like, y'all are remarkably similar, though you are much younger than your mother. And as you take her in and she looks at you with soft eyes, another voice just goes, "All right, state your name." And a like Mershark guard steps in from the side. She has a security detail.
I'm Talon? Who are you?
All right, that checks out. All right, Talon. Hey, there's another person in here. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Coyote.
Yeah, you gotta talk to yourself now.
I'm a friend of Talon. Just tell him.
This is Coyote. She's with me. She's with me.
Okay, Finn. I think we're clear. Can you wait outside of the apartment,
ma'am? And the guard like salutes her before standing outside. And you look at your mother, who just rolls her eyes and then like makes eye contact with you before stepping in and shutting the door.
Oh, come here.
And she gives you this huge hug, just pulls you close. I am so sorry about the guard.
There are tears in Talon's eyes.
Oh, there are tears in her eyes too. Absolutely. She puts a hand to your cheek and like brushes your tears away.
It is so good to see you again. I can't believe it's only been a few weeks. It feels weirdly too long, even though before that it had been so many years before. Oh, Talon, it's so good to see you. And sorry again about the guard. He takes his job a little seriously, but I'm part of a council that runs the city now. That's weird, but exciting at the same time. And it's been a lot of work, but me and Vladislav have made an uneasy truce to be on this council together, and that giant crab is still moping in what used to be the kiln, so he hasn't been an issue. So
he's still around.
I will say it was unclear if he was a friend of yours or as she says friend, she does kind of see Coyote move out of the corner and just goes, and speaking of friends, this is your friend, Coyote. Was it?
Yeah. This is, we're dating.
Howdy, hey.
Tyne steps back.
Have a conversation with yourself. Do it. Fucking do it.
Tyne steps back and just looks Coyote up and down. Then looks at you and just goes, "All right, does she treat you well?"
Yes.
Make you happy?
Yes.
All right. She goes over and hugs Coyote and goes, well, and she's all right by me. Thank you for looking out for my daughter while she's been up here on the surface.
Oh, it ain't been no thing. Nope, that's not how I talk.
Coyote is just like so flustered and just goes, finally like sucks it in, just goes,
it is a pleasure to make your acquaintance. Tyne, Mrs. Talon's mom, it's a real honor to have you in Talon's apartment. I'm gonna go we have fish tacos if you'd like one. I'll go plate some up for you.
Fucking books it over to the other side of the room where the stove is.
Hell yeah, I'm not the only one having to roleplay uncomfortableness.
She seems nice, Talon. Ooh, do I smell salmon tacos, dear?
Yes. I make a lot of food sometimes, but I thought with the seafood maybe it would be something that you're more used to, but it's still like something that I make a lot of, and they do really good street food here. I don't know if other places do it badly, but it's really good tacos that you can pick up like for breakfast and stuff, and I like making my own variations, and so I was trying to make something that's a little bit of both of us.
Well, look at this. You're an adventurer. You're a cook. Is there anything you can't do? Oh, I'm excited to try them.
Flirt. That's the one thing she can't do is flirt.
I mean, speak for yourself. Do you not remember episode one?
Yeah, arguably.
Genuinely, no.
We started this by me flirting with Coyote.
Yeah, arguably Talon's been the most successful at flirting of any of y'all.
The thing Talon's not good at is maintaining the relationship after flirting. Although, still better than you.
Anyway, Talon, you go to help Coyote kind of plate up the food and set it on the little table you have. Did you get more than the one chair, or is it still just one chair?
Oh, no, I still only have one chair because that would require more thinking in advance. The stove was really my piece de resistance.
Absolutely. And as you approach Tyne, your mother just goes, Is there a closet with other chairs that I should go grab?
No, I was thinking we could use glances around desperately, pillows just to on the floor to be comfortable.
Yeah, that's the fashion here in Bastion right now. All the rage. Coyote chimes in to try and help. Well, I'm meeting the city council in just a little bit. It's good to know some of Bastion customs before I go. Thank you so much.
I mean, it's really more of a informal family-ish kind of thing, but yeah, it definitely is one of the customs.
Oh, absolutely. Well, far be it from me to sit in a chair when pillows are the family custom. She kind of awkwardly sits down on a pillow.
We're all awkwardly sitting on pillows.
And the only chair isn't being sat in.
Yeah, the only chair is actually being used sort of as an informal table. For holding drinks and stuff.
Oh, perfect.
Listen, we all of us had to eat in a place with friends where no one had enough furniture. This is not.
Oh yeah, I can't judge. For the first 2 weeks when my partner and I first moved in together, we ate off the ground and called it picnics because we put a blanket down because we didn't have any furniture in our apartment.
Yeah, it's normal. It's fine.
Absolutely. And as you sit and eat, your mother regales you with the stories of what's happened in the city-state since you left, the formation of a coalition government made up of a council, reaching out to the city of Bastion, her being invited to come out here. And I imagine, do you tell her about your adventures with the Else Agency, or is there anything else you want to talk to her about?
I definitely tell her about the adventures of the Else Agency, but I try and keep it away from things that I feel really badly about, like the factory.
Absolutely. And as you finish up, she just looks at you and goes, wow, you are thriving up here, Talon. I'll admit I was a little nervous when I went into that bar, but at the same time, I know that you are resilient as always, so I shouldn't be surprised that this is where you are. You're doing good for yourself, kid. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. I'm really glad to see you again and to hear that.
Absolutely. Well, I do have to leave to go meet with the council for a little bit, but I'm happy to spend more time with you later today or this evening. And as she says that, Kyrie goes, I'm so sorry there. In the excitement of today, I kind of forgot. Talon, I picked up your mail for you from your mailbox downstairs.
Oh, yeah.
And similar to Blaze, it's a few bills from when you left. You have some letters just from various former acquaintances or things you have people in your life. And then there is, once again, the envelope with the two tickets for the premiere of the film tonight, The Devil in the Desert City, with Apollina Cord, that you have been invited to as one of Mordai's fellow Ellison agents, and a plus one.
Huh. I wonder if I can negotiate with someone for one of their plus ones. Oh, wait. Coyote probably got her own tickets. Coyote, did you get any of the... Did you get any tickets?
Tickets to what?
Well, maybe Mordai just sent them to... maybe it was Mordai. Apollina Cord has a film premiering.
Oh, Apollina Cord has a new film? Oh, she is a delight. Okay, the party may not have been that much fun, the Blood Moon Ball, but, given the murder of my relative there...
Yeah, that part
was... She was a delight during it. She was a blast. And yeah, she didn't kill him, so good.
Yeah, that was a bonus. That's definitely what you want in a movie star, to not have killed people.
It would be preferable, yeah.
Looks like I only have one plus one. I wonder if everyone else is planning on bringing someone.
Oh, Talon, don't. I'm just your mother. You do not have, you know, you've got a beautiful girlfriend here who I'm sure would be thrilled to go to the films with you if you'd like to do that instead. I completely understand. No, Talon, you should take your mother. Jesus, you haven't seen her in so Grace long.
Piper, you can't believe you're doing this to me.
Why, whatever you do know, you mean?
She could ask Blaze for their plus one.
Yeah, I was gonna. Mostly because I don't know who Mordai would be bringing, but Mordai is like... Actually, I could straight up just... Mordai's got his own shit going on. Who knows what Mordai's up to? But yeah, probably Blaze, who's definitely not bringing your crab.
Well, the crab's not here. Thank God. I was really worried that the crab would show up here with your mom and come find me and destroy the town.
I think you need to talk to your crab fiance.
I think I shouldn't talk to my former crab fiance.
You never unfiancéed.
Yeah, well, I just left. That counts.
Does it?
No, that is what Blaze has historically done.
How many engagements have you walked out of?
Don't this worry about topic. It.
This is off topic.
That's not important. That's for me to know and for you to not find out.
Anyways, I say, one second, and I go outside. I find one of the kids on the street, and I say, hey.
Hey there, Talon, how you doing?
Can you take a note to, and I give Blaze's address. You know, the one right between the two loudest places in Bastion.
Oh, I know just the spot. It's pretty fucking miserable, but I can take this note right over.
Yeah, could you give that? And I hand him a note that says, hey, can I have your plus one ticket? I can't imagine you're bringing your crab.
The kid holds out his palm.
Yeah, okay. And I flick on my silver.
On the double, Miss Talon. Kid runs off with your note. Just to settle this now, Blaze, do you give up your plus one to Talon?
If you're going to turn me down just because I keep taking shots at your crab...
No. Blaze is having other thoughts called abandoning the entire heist and trying to get Brick to go on a date.
So that you can walk out on them later?
Rude! Probably. Blaze is gonna write back a little note. I'll just assume that Blaze is home when they get it. And Blaze stares at the note for probably a solid 5 full minutes. Unblinking, while the kid is still standing there, because
Timothy is getting really uncomfortable.
Because they were like, wait, just a minute, let me write my response, and then stares at the note for the 5 minutes, and then picks up.
Do you need me to write it for you?
No, I know how to write.
Doesn't look like it.
I was thinking, you know what? Here you go. And Blaze writes a quick little note and hands it to the child, which says, maybe, .. Can I get your opinion on something? Let's meet at a place and a time that is before this event.
Jesus Christ, you're making this so goddamn complicated for me.
Jimothy like holds out a hand and coughs again, like you want me to deliver another message? It's going to be another silver piece.
Oh, yes, of course. You want something in exchange.
Money, please.
And Blaze reaches into their cloak.
Money, please.
And hands him a single egg.
I'm going to rob you later. Bye. and the kid runs out.
Now, Piper, what mm-hmm. did you personally expect Blaze to do in this situation? Give him money?
Yes.
No. They have eggs. Also, you never told me what happened when I ate the egg. How does Blaze feel? Blaze eats another egg.
Oh, Blaze feels fine. Ate an egg. Still exhausted.
Damn it!
Did you think an egg would solve your exhaustion?
I thought it might.
Clearly, you solved my egg riddle.
I genuinely thought there was a small chance it might.
I mean, there's a small chance of anything, but not this one, bud.
I mean, Wait, it makes sense. Is that not an unreasonable thought?
Hold on. I get that the egg wouldn't do it, but a long rest didn't remove... Is Blaze just permanently exhausted?
As far as they can tell. Yeah.
Shit.
Don't worry, I'm figuring it out. I have definitely not been messaging Piper in fear.
Personally, I think that anyone who tries to give a kid an egg instead of money deserves this.
Yeah, so much for paying workers. Damn, Blaze.
To be fair, I was trying to say the egg thing before he said money, please. And so I'm just now playing it off as, oh, Blaze did not hear him because they were busy deep in thought and did not hear him asking for money specifically.
I don't think that makes it better.
I think it does.
We might have to agree to disagree on that one.
We follow Jimothy out of your apartment, Goblin. Or, sorry, out of Blaze's apartment, through the city streets. He is running as fast as he can.
Actually going to rob Goblin, not Blaze. Goblin.
He's running through the streets, and he passes by the gardens outside of the Bastion Community Center, where the joyous screams of children playing weave their way around the volunteers and members of the community center, who are tending to patches of the unique fruits and vegetables that grow in the frontier climate. Some of the more druidically talented ones are growing, you know, unique fruits like limes. And Rosalind, your family, your mother Winona and your brother Ennis, who you recall now goes by the name Twig Sweetkins. The name he was given to by Mordai when he got to the city and joined the Order of the Black Dog, are coming to the community center to see you today. Much like how Talon was doing some preps. Rosalind, what are you doing to prepare for your family visiting?
Rosalind lives in a shared room. She is not doing much. I will say the one thing that she's doing is perhaps the suitcase of goose meat that smells probably pretty bad is getting a new home.
Where are you putting it?
Well, you see, first, Roslyn is taking the suitcase outside, finding a quiet corner of the garden, digging a large hole, opening the suitcase, and chucking the goose meat into the hole. But fishing around for the other object that was in the suitcase and putting it back in there and shutting the suitcase before covering the hole of goose meat with dirt.
So you're keeping the suitcase with the artifact in it. You're burying the goose meat?
Yes.
Okay. Are you putting the
suitcase
back?
Maybe I'll grow a goose.
Absolutely.
Or gooseberries.
A gooseberry fool. But as you open the suitcase, you do feel like that wave of the hot, cold, arcanic energy that these artifacts give off when you're near them. And all the hairs on your arm and on the back of your neck stand up. And this power that washes over you, it's stronger than you remember it being. It feels like it has ramped up in energy.
Must be the goose meat.
But Barry, what are you doing with the suitcase with the artifact in it? Are you putting it back under your bed? Were you just dealing with the smell? Which nobody wanted to say anything, but people were definitely noticing the smell.
I was mostly dealing with the smell.
Yeah, absolutely.
How big is the artifact again?
It's like a small hula hoop. It's about, I think we said 2 feet in diameter, maybe 3 feet.
Okay. Oh, boy. I'm going to regret this, but it'll be funny. I put the artifact with little Timmy's toys.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. To the side of the room, there's, absolutely like a play area for the kids. In that big kind of communal living area. And you kind of tuck it behind some other things. You see some other like hula hoops. You see, you first check a trunk and it's just absolutely full of potatoes that little Timmy has just been squirreling away, apparently, that no one knew about.
Good for him.
Yeah, you tuck it in. And as you do, Adelaide, the kind of head of the community center, walks up and just goes, "Oh, hello there, Rosalind. There are some people downstairs who say they are here to meet with you."
Yes. Give me one moment. I will be right down.
Oh, of course. Should I give them some of our stew or?
you know what? Yes, please. Please offer.
Absolutely. I am happy to. Absolutely. We'll be waiting for you downstairs.
Thank you.
And she leaves. I think you do whatever last preparations you need to do. And making your way downstairs, you see your brother who's waiting there. And then kind of moving further down the steps, you see for the first time in so long, your mother. She is older than you remember her being. And she has a few noticeable like scars on her face now from her time crossing the Star Ridge Mountains. Clearly a little banged up. She's different than you remember her, but it's still her. They are both wearing the flowing robes of white with the black dog on the front, the kind of standard wear of the Order of the Black Dog. And they both rush in to give you big hugs as you hit the bottom of the stairs.
Roslyn opens her arms wide and like braces for impact.
Absolutely. With a thud, they crash into you in this joyous hug of reunion, and they are laughing and crying. And your brother Twig goes, "See, Ma, I told you, it's Roslyn. It's really her." "Oh, hello, Roslyn. It's so good to see you again. Oh my God, look at you. Are you eating? Have you been doing well here?"
"Hi, Mom." Roslyn like is completely overwhelmed by the situation.
Oh,
and it takes her a minute to recover.
Absolutely. Your mom just pulls you in and is like, she's like petting the back. She's like stroking your hair very softly, just holding you close.
It's okay, dear. We have all the time in the world that we need now. The Grimm has brought us together again."
Roslyn twitches when she hears that.
"Can we sit down? There's so much to tell you."
"Of course. Yes, please come take a seat. Did Adelaide offer you stew?"
"Oh, yes, I didn't want to be holding a bowl of something hot when you came down the stairs. I wanted to hug you up."
"No, that totally makes sense. No, we should have some stew though. It's delicious."
"Oh, of course. I see that the gardens are growing well. I see that you found another group of druids, or at least people with green thumbs to be around. I'm glad to see it."
"Yeah, no, I've found some really wonderful people here." And Roslyn is just like staring at her family with tears in her eyes.
They are just beaming with joy as they see you. You sit around the table and Adelaide very quietly brings around three bowls. She goes, "Hello, I am Adelaide. I am the
kind of head person here at the community center, although we don't like to view it in terms of the hierarchy. And you are?"
And your mother looks at her and just goes,
"Oh, hello. I'm Maple Sweetkins, and this is my daughter, Roslyn."
Adelaide drops one of the bowls. "Oh, this is your mother. Okay. It is a pleasure to meet you. Roslyn is such a wonderful child. We've really looked after her as one of our own. I'm going to go get you more.
Can you believe it?"
I cannot. I cannot be believing it.
"I'm going to get more stew now. I will get you a fresh bowl."
"Thank you."
"Of course. Enjoy your conversation." And she kind of scurries away. Roslyn, I think you know that Adelaide is shocked and there's something up there. But frankly, I from what you've told me, it sounds like you are way too invested in this scene with your family to really pay attention to that.
Yeah, no, Roslyn would not have clocked that.
"So, Roslyn, Twig tells me you're working here as an independent investigator or something. That's incredible. I can't."
Your mother starts like crying again. And Twig.
"Sorry. I have to say, that is still the stupidest name I've ever heard. I cannot believe you let Mordai give you that."
"Listen, we were. When we got separated from you, we thought you were gone, Roslyn.
That you had to have like the most ridiculous name of all time."
"We didn't choose it. Mordai, you said he said that these were great names for druids in the frontier and helped us get papers and more. Like, look, we were not going to look a gift horse in the mouth when he offered
to when we were directed to him and he helped us get new identities. I mean, we left everything.
You don't
everything.
Want to look Mordai in the mouth.
Oh, okay, I don't. Okay.
Wow.
Sorry, I love you, Leah.
It's a strange energy our family reunion has taken on, but it is, you know, we left everything behind and we thought we lost you. We just wanted to start fresh, but and your mother puts a hand on his shoulders, goes, "We're just so glad to have you back. We, oh my God, it's, we were told that maybe it was possible, but to have you here in front of me, Rosalind, I can't. My prayers have been answered.
Mom?
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I still don't understand how did we separate?
You know, we were in the caravan of people trying to flee the old world, and there was we were in that narrow canyon between the peaks, and well, when something shook the peaks, it caused the avalanche, and we went one way, and you went the other, and there was just snow and ice and rocks everywhere. We were running. We were fleeing from that downpour, and I don't know what caused it. There was this explosion of light higher up, but an aurora or something, but then we were on the other side of the Starridge Mountains and descending down in a rush, but when we finally stopped, you weren't there.
An explosion of light?
Everything happened so fast. I don't know what it was.
I don't remember that. Why don't I remember that?
I don't know. How did you survive? I'm so glad you did, but I'm so, how, Rosalind? How are you a miracle?
I don't remember.
A tender hand touches your cheek as your mother looks you deep in the eye. It doesn't matter, Rosalind. What matters is we're together again, and we can be together. You should see what we've made of ourselves out with the druids, out with the Order of the Black Dog. We've been able to accomplish great things. We're doing so much good for the frontier, and you can be a part of that now. You can join us as a family.
Rosalind, kind of flinches away.
What did I say? Is everything all right? Yeah, Rosalind is...
Twig leans in and just... Or Ennis leans in.
Is everything okay? I know this must be a lot. Do you need to take a break? We can... Maybe you can give us a tour of where you're living now? This wonderful community center? Maybe, take a breather?
Yeah. Yeah, no, let's do that. Let's go outside. Come on, I'm sure little Timmy will want to show you his potatoes.
Yeah, but you gotta show them around. There's the gardens where there's fruits and vegetables. You introduce them to a number of the volunteers you've kind of spent the last several months with, learning and growing. You take them all around. You take them through the community center as well, or just outside?
I think she's just going to... Well... She'll take them through the lower level of the community center and outside, but she's not going to take them up to the rooms, to people's rooms.
Oh, this is lovely. Do you have an apartment in the city, or do you stay here?
Oh, no, I stay here. We all kind of share a bunch of larger rooms. I would take you up to see it, but...
Would you? That would be lovely.
I would, but there are a couple people napping in there right now. I don't want to wake them.
I mean, look, I know I used to be a bit of a klutz, Rosalind, but I can be quiet. And as he says that, he trips over a chair. Your brother does.
Right. Well, let me paint you a picture. There is my bed. There are insert number here of other beds.
Yeah, you lay it all out. Okay, so you're not taking them upstairs?
No. She loves them, but there is a certain bit of wariness that has crept back in for her after hearing them mention the black dog thing again and again.
Absolutely. Well, as you head back out to continue talking and kind of showing them the city, will you make a perception check for me?
Yes. Yes, I will.
I know we're finally rolling in D&D.
Yes, rolling. All right. Perception. Never. Okay. That is 9 plus 4, 13.
Okay. Yeah, you head out of the community center.
Ominous.
Settling down at one of the kind of park benches on the edge of the gardens, you continue to talk with your mother and brother, and Ennis looks at you, Ennis now Twig, and just goes, "So, Rosalind, it is so good to see you and to talk to you again. When Mom brought up you coming back with us, you didn't seem thrilled. I thought you'd be overjoyed to be with your family again."
"Well, it's not that. I love you guys.
We love you too, but why do you flinch away from us?"
"I mean, it's not from you."
Your mom looks at Twig with questioning eyes, and Twig just looks like he knows exactly what you're about to say and just nods at you.
I don't want this to come between us because I know how important this has been for you. But I really don't. I do not trust the Order of the Black Dog whatsoever."
Your mother gasps, like you have personally offended her. And Twig just puts a hand on her shoulders and goes, "Rosalind, I know this is all new to you, but why would you not trust the Order of the Black Dog? They thanks to the Grimm, we've been reunited. We've gotten these amazing new lives. It's the Grimm promises us a future, and he has delivered. I mean, we have been thriving, and the Order of the Black Dog, this community, they've welcomed us in. They've given us purpose.
I'm so glad for that. Really, I can't state enough, like, I'm so happy. I'm really, really happy that you guys have found something and that it's kept you going all this time. But I have a very different relationship with them. And I do not see them that way."
"Well, maybe we could show you a different side that you haven't seen yet. I don't want to force this on you. That's not what I'm trying to do, but..."
"No, I know.
I feel like you would be uncomfortable coming back with us if you weren't... If this was something that made you uncomfortable, I don't want you to be uncomfortable with us, with your family."
I don't either. You know what? If you guys are willing, I'll come. I'll come and see. I'm not making any promises, but, you know,
of course,
I'll come and see."
"Well, actually, Rosalind, I have some exciting news."
"Oh?
Well, let me back up. I know
flashback."
"No, not a flashback. Just someone stumbling over their words a little bit. We are not flashing back to anything. So, you know, I was honored as a speaker at one of our events here in Bastion at the Harvest Festival, and I've been thriving in the Order, and I've been given a really important task, a really major role, and I was told that I could pick a team to help me with it, and I know that you and your friends are really good at adventuring from what I've heard. I mean, you're Ellison agents. Even we know that's a big deal. And so maybe we can show you why the Order of the Black Dog has been so wonderful to us and why it's so important. Will you do a job with me? Will your team help me with something?"
You know, I don't want to commit everyone else.
"Oh, of course. I completely understand.
And I mean, you shouldn't commit without even hearing it first.
Yeah, no, I would like to hear more about what exactly it is before I say yes or no.
Oh, Roslyn.
And then I would have to talk to everybody else.
Of course, Roslyn. Oh, Roslyn, it's so wonderful. Your brother has been, it seems like the Grimm is really just guiding him in the most wonderful way. And it's so special to see. Thanks, Mom. Look, Roslyn, you know, the Grimm has told us the story of a promised future, and that future, it's close. And I've been chosen to go and find what we think is, what we think might be the last piece to this puzzle. I mean, the Grimm has imparted on his prophets the location of the God's Tear. And I've been chosen to go and, you know, investigate if it's if we can confirm that location and deliver the key to the doorway. Like, how amazing is that?
The doorway?
To the promised future, yeah.
Sorry, what exactly is it that you need a team for? Just to help you find it, or?
It's apparently, like, behind some pretty heavy, heavy-duty, what's the word? Security, I guess?
What do you mean? What security?
Well, that's part of it. We don't really know. We just know that it's hidden and its location was lost the centuries. But the Grimm imparted that divine knowledge to the prophet who passed it along to me as a special task. Huh. So we know where it is now. We know where in the desert it is. And
okay. I guess that's something.
I need a team to explore it with me, and I can't, Roslyn, I can't do it on my own.
You know, I will talk to my team, and I'll see what they think. In the meantime, though, can I come and see? Sorry, I'm very excited to come and see your home. I'm just processing.
I understand. One day at a time, right? That's all we can do as we move to the future.
Yeah. Exactly.
And as you continue chatting with your mother and brother, and they tell you about, you know, what their home is like and the druidic fields and all that wonderful stuff that they've done and gotten to do, and you tell them about your adventures as an Ellison agent, Adelaide comes back over with another bowl of stew and just goes, "Here's the stew. I'm so sorry for spilling it earlier. Also, Roslyn, you have some mail." And she drops an envelope that is very fancy, and it should be no surprise, it is a ticket to that night's premiere with a plus one.
Oh, how lovely. Have either of you experienced, I forget what we're calling them, not movers.
Films is fine. Films, I think okay. We've used a few different phrases at
okay,
this point.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to check to make sure. Have either of you experienced the film before?
No, we've heard about this marvelous new technology, but seen it? No, we don't get film out in the druidic fields.
Oh, I have one extra ticket for tonight. It's Apollina Cord's debut on the big screen.
Rachel, if you don't take your goddamn girlfriend, I'm going to scream.
Okay, well, it's not my fault there are three people who might want to go.
And you only have one plus one. You gotta pick. And you should pick
your
girlfriend.
I forgot. Is it bad that I forgot?
A little.
We literally just did this with me.
Okay, listen, to be fair, I'm very distracted by this whole cult nonsense.
No. Actually, Roslyn, if Mom wants to say, she can, but I do have some business for the order that I have to attend to while I'm in the city, so I'm going to be booked tonight.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. I just...
No, that's okay. You know what? I completely forgot. My business associate, I think, has already claimed this ticket.
Well, Roslyn, I don't want you to have to... go back on a promise you made or a deal. Don't worry about me. We'll in another
I'm
week
sorry,
or two
Mom,
come out
I
to the house.
To,
we'll see you again. Like,
I didn't mean to dangle it in front of you and then just
my sweet girl, you're alive.
Nothing you could do would upset me right now because you're here. You're here.
Not even saying that I hate the Order of the Black Dog and I wish you would leave.
Wow.
Oh, you always knew how to push my buttons, Rosalind.
Mom, I was joking.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I can't believe you would hate something that's brought your family back to you.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. But you continue to spend the rest of the afternoon with your family. And eventually you part ways. As the day continues and the sun races towards the horizon, Mordai, you make your way to the Silver Screen Theater for the red carpet premiere of Apollina Cord's new film. You're dressed in your best outfit. Actually,
the one that I wore to the Blood Moon Ball.
Absolutely. Can you remind us of what that looked like?
No, I can't.
Okay, fair enough. It's the same one from the Blood Moon Ball.
Trust me, it's classy as hell, whatever it is.
Absolutely. It was very, I think it was just like a much nicer version of your standard wear that you described earlier.
That sounds right. Like actually properly formal, not scuffed up.
Right. Not the like presentation formal, not the lived in nice clothes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have to ask you, did you bring a plus one?
You know, that's an excellent question.
Please tell me you brought Tibble's tablecloth.
No. If I ever see that man again, he's dying.
Enemies to friends arc.
I mean, maybe you've already seen him. You don't know.
Yeah, maybe he's Scud Dudley.
I swear to God, he's Scud Dudley. There is something like that. It's gotta be, right? It's gotta be.
You know what? Mordai is going to check in on Simon and see if Simon is well enough to attend.
Aww.
Simon is still in a coma.
Simon's still in a coma.
Yeah. Well, that's only been one day.
That's true. You know what? There's not a lot of people that Mordai would bring to this. I, Leo, am personally tempted to invite Chili.
Yes!
No!
Oh my God, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Mordai, however, has no reason to invite Chili.
Oh!
Oh my God.
Nah, fuck it. Mordai's going solo.
Yeah, absolutely. That is absolutely fine. And as you walk up, you see countless excited faces of fans hoping to catch a glimpse of Apolline, whose meteoric rise to stardom has generated a massive and fanatic fan base. Well-dressed individuals of all types make their way into the theater doors under a massive sign illuminated by brilliant magical lights to read, "The Vanson Silver Screen presents The Devil in the Desert City, starring Apollina Cord." And then under that in smaller letters, preceded by a short local documentary. And you know that the documentary you made about the folks living in tents is also premiering tonight. As you move closer to the doors, kind of parting the crowd a little bit, you see your friends. You see Rosalind standing there next to Adelia, who is dressed in a formal vest and button down with dark slacks.
That I invited her.
I'm sorry, Rosalind, who was your plus one?
Adelia, obviously. How could you even question that for a second?
Actually, Adelia had other plans tonight, so you're going alone.
All by myself.
No, Adelia's there. And next to her is Talon and her mother. Oh, I don't think you... I'm sorry.
We never actually
Yeah, I forgot to close that loop. What
is doing?
Yeah, we got to close that loop.
Yeah. We're going to flash back real quick. Blaze, you and Talon are meeting. You meet down in the Coral Thief 2. Tyne and Coyote are also there, kind of awkwardly to the side. And Jimothy is there going, "I'm still owed a payment. I was just given an egg by this one for delivering the message. So, mm-mm."
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jimothy. I didn't realize you were asking for money. I just thought you were hungry. Here you go. And Blaze is going to toss him a silver piece.
Thank you. Might still rob you. Jimothy.
I would recommend against that.
Just give him money. Am I in the scene?
Jimothy's gone. Jimothy, you gave Jimothy the money. Jimothy's
gone?
Is gone.
I was telling him not to rob my goddamn house. He left. My house to be robbed.
Oh, your house
he
is
left.
Robbed.
Solve what you're doing with the fucking ticket.
God damn it.
Can I have your ticket? I want to take both my mom and my girlfriend.
Can I talk to you privately? Super, super
quick. We're in private. What do you need?
So hypothetically, if there was a heist of a workplace for the person who worked there. Would you do that?
I put my hands on your shoulders and I say, Blaze, tell me the truth. Are you planning on robbing the Ellison agency?
Technically, I did not plan it. I agreed to something and then I realized later that it was, in fact, of the Ellison agency, but I don't know if I can back out without, I'm going to assume, being murdered.
I think that that's more of a red flag, and you definitely shouldn't do. I mean, why would you rob the Ellison agency? We're like doing good shit and all, and also like, holy shit! Wait, what things are getting robbed?
That is
trying to help someone steal the artifacts.
Question. Hey, Piper, did River ever tell me what we were going to rob?
River talked about like objects of great power, but never specifically said like artifacts or anything. I think you could guess it's that, but you don't know for sure.
Possibly the artifacts.
Don't steal the artifacts. Leave them where they are. They're so dangerous. Holy
right,
shit.
Right.
If you steal the artifacts, we are never going to fix the factory, and I'm going to blame you.
What if I kept the artifacts?
What if we leave them with the scientist who's figuring out how to use them?
Fix the factory. True things.
Also, if the person you're stealing them for might kill you for backing out, you're not going to maintain control of the artifacts.
I don't know that he would kill me necessarily, but
back out.
I have a severe fear of disappointing people.
Blaze, my hands have now drifted up to Blaze's face. Blaze, if you rob the Ellison agency, you will be disappointing me.
Okay, you can have my ticket then.
Thanks. I take the ticket, I turn around, and I walk away.
We step back to the present, the evening of the premiere. Morda, you see Talon next to her mother, Tyne, and Coyote. Blaze isn't there yet, but as an attendant dressed in a maroon velvet jacket with silver trim announces that the show will begin shortly, the six of you head into the luxurious lobby of the Silver Screen Theater. Inside, you see people milling about, and the smell of popcorn wafts over your mind, as well as the distinct smell of meaty chili. And you see that while there are formal concessions counters, Chili is there in his barrel with a little bow tie pinned to the front of the barrel. And he marches right up to you and goes, "Hey, you want some chili? Good for movies."
You know what? Chili popcorn actually sounds kind of good.
Oh, chili popcorn. I was just going to feed you chili out of my barrel, but you want chili popcorn? That might be a whole new business.
Yeah, you should branch out, Chili. Chili goes with a lot of things.
I'm a meat of the people. I don't suppose you know anything about formulating businesses.
Oh, boy. Have I got ideas for you.
Well, here, let me give you my card. He fishes around in his barrel. And puts just a lump of chili into your hand.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Yeah, just throw that out a window and I'll be there in two shakes of a squirrel tail.
Wait, really? Hold on. Actually,
he just looks.
You'll come if I throw this out a window.
Darn tootin'.
Awesome. I am going to place the chili into like a little glass vial, like an adventuring vial, and just hang on to that. For future use.
Oh no.
Yeah, absolutely. Add a vial of chili to your inventory.
Yeah, I'm gonna jot that down.
All right, I gotta get back to handing out my chili. You want chili? You want chili? Chili! You see him start throwing chili at people and decide to get a move on, which works out well because the lights are starting to kind of flash in that lobby area. And the six of you make your way into the theater portion of the building. As you find your seats, the lights dim down and the massive screen in front of you flickers to life. Gentle violin music begins to play and you are treated to the opening of the short form documentary that Mordai made with Apollina Cord during the last Bastion days,
featuring the stories and testaments of the people who live in tents and other unconventional dwellings throughout the city. It is heartfelt and touching. And Mordai, you look around, you do see that people seem a mix of attentive and inattentive, but it is exactly the story that you were hoping to tell. And as the credits for this short form documentary begin to roll, and a big like illumination that says feature presentation in 3, 2, 1, we smash cut to Blaze and River and Brick and this one standing in front of the Ellison Agency.